Geico presents sharing versus oversharing. Today, Bridget Griffin shared a video of her daily yoga routine, two self-help articles, and her new blog called Build Your Inner Bridge with Bridge. Girl, your sharing has turned into oversharing. No worries, Bridge. Geico has some info worth sharing with your 7 blog followers, like how you could save money on your car insurance, update your policy, and report a claim just by visiting geico.com. How's that for building your inner bridge? Bridge, Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Total Spotlight Show. You can check me out on Twitter, at Total Tutor, Neil S. Haley Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley, Instagram, Total Tutor, Pinterest, Neil Haley, Google Plus, and also on Periscope, at Total Tutor. I'm excited to welcome the program author Rob Roselli, boxsunglasses.com, at Rob Roselli. Rob, how are you? And this week we thought it was the end of Donald Trump, and now we find out the polls have changed completely. Talk about a conspiracy.
What was that last part?
The polls changed. Now Trump's winning in Wisconsin. That was a quick flip-flop the whole weekend of calling the end of Donald Trump.
Oh, he won? Wisconsin?
No, the polls. Tomorrow's the primary, but the polls have changed. Now Trump's ahead.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I mean, look, the whole thing's a joke. I mean, I think we've discussed that. And I personally, as far as it goes, I do not believe that the powers that be, I'm not talking about these imbeciles in Congress or this con man, this slickster Ivy League smart-ass con man, the multi-named Obama. I'm not saying the powers that be, but anyway, the powers that be, I'm going to say, will never allow Trump to get anywhere close to the presidency. He just isn't going to be allowed to happen. That being said, I don't think they're going to blow his head off in broad daylight like they did with JFK or suffocate him or whatever they did with Justice Scalia and, you know, get rid of his body before they could do any kind of autopsy or anybody could ask too many questions, just kind of ferry him off and on Sunday morning when nobody's around and he's just gone. I predict it. It looks like the case is with Trump is just going to wear him down by attrition. Just keep throwing bombs at him. Keep throwing bombs at his campaign. It's just an endless stream of nonsensical garbage, innuendo, implication. It's childish. But it's working. I think they're just going to grind them down. That's pretty much what's happening. I know it's not fancy or exciting or doesn't sound too conspiratorial, but that's just what I see. Not that it matters anyway. There's so much going on in the world right now. It just doesn't matter who the next president is. They're playing against a stacked deck anyway. So whoever was president, it'd be a Trump or anybody else, they're never going to, it's not going to matter. I think the die has been cast and the cruel conspiracy has taken on such a momentum at this point. The economic collapse we're going to have soon is going to be biblical in nature. Then beyond that, everything else just kind of cascades and falls around it. And if you remember several months back, on Mystery Babylon and Revelation 17 and 18, and we went through it line by line. There's people on my site, boxofsunglasses.com. You go on page 17, you should be able to pick up those shows, and the title should be there. You can listen to those, and you can read about it. Again, boxofsunglasses.com, that's one word. Like a cardboard box of sunglasses, like on John Carpenter's Where They Live, and you can go read about Mystery Babylon, and the fact that there is no doubt, there is not even a smidgen of a doubt that, in fact, the United States is the central player in biblical prophecy. I know there's a lot of these, I'll call them goofballs out there, for lack of a better word, people that say, oh, Israel's God's chosen people in Europe and the European Union and all of a sudden nonsense. But what these people are missing and continue to miss is the fact that much of the book of Revelation is in fact figurative and symbolic in nature. Okay, most of it is not to be taken literally, and that's really where so many so-called biblical scholars and biblical experts, these prophecy experts, go way off course. They're not even, most of these guys aren't even close. They have no clue. And to prove my case, Neil, remember a few weeks ago, what did we talk about on this very show? Something called Beltane or May 1st.
Right, yeah.
Date May 1st. And that's, I don't know if we talked about that. And lo and behold, wouldn't you know it, that the all over the United States and Europe, including places like Mystery Babylon or New York City, replicas of the Temple of Baal, okay, from ancient Babylon, are going to be erected all over the place. Okay, just in time for May 1st. Okay. Now, just to review, and anyway, I mean, what we talk about on this show, what we're going to talk about tonight, you know, if people, you're not going to hear it on Fox News, you're not going to hear too much about this so-called election, this scam, okay, this presidential clown show. If you want all that kind of stuff, and you know, we'll listen to Fox News. I mean, if you really want, you know, the up-to-date poll results, and then we talk here, and you know, the hour that we have, and you know, we talk in generalities. But anyway, the takeoff and purpose of this show, is that this is what Trump is up against. Okay, he's up against literal. The Un-American Genocidal Complex, okay, which is the title of my second book, which is available on my site. Some people know it as the military-industrial complex, Eastern establishment, et cetera, et cetera. I've entitled it the Un-American Genocidal Complex, and basically what that is the aggregate of all these so-called groups, you know, the favorites of the conspiracy kooks, the Skull and Bones, the Bilderbergs, your Council on Foreign Relations, United Nations, okay, they're all in a really tightly knit group that I call the Un-American Genocidal Complex, and the UN, of course, being the United Nations part of that, the American, and what these people are doing and have done is they're literally the engines behind history, okay? This is your conspiracy, all right? This is what people are missing. So for the purposes of the book, I just selected out a very small slice of the whole conspiracy, which is the rise and fall of one Adolf Hitler in the post-World War II era of the Nazis. Okay, the Nazis never really went away. Okay, they were invented here in the United States. They were funded. Their factories were funded. Hitler's ideas were fermented here in the United States. He came to power in World War II. He was defeated barely by the so-called allies, even so-called allied powers, even particularly the United States. And then taking most of these Nazi scientists anyway and inserting them right back into, you know, to the rocket program, to the CIA, MK Ultra, okay, mind control program, and all the experiments that were going on during World War II, okay? It wasn't just, you know, the comic book version, or maybe that's not the right word, because I'm not trying to imply that any of this at all is funny or irrelevant.
Right. You're right. You're not laughing or you wouldn't be on this, right? No.
Yeah, but the kind of, let's just say elementary school, the elementary school Adolf Hitler, you know, Hitler came up, he arose in Germany after World War One, and, you know, Germany was beaten down, and Hitler was able to rise up, and he didn't like the Jews, and you know, he killed 6 million of them, and yada, yada, yada. Yeah, he didn't like the Jews. He didn't like blacks. He didn't like invalids. He didn't like... but basically, he was a social Darwinist like his American counterparts, okay? He didn't... he didn't kill hundreds, you know, tens of millions of blacks like we have in this nation with the, you know, with Planned Parenthood. Mostly for that reason, there weren't a lot of blacks in Germany, you know, at the time of World War II. I mean, so his favorite were the Jews. But the point is that the evil that we're talking about here is behind Adolf Hitler. It guided Adolf Hitler. It fed him. It generated him. Okay, and this is fully documented in the Un-American Genocidal Complex. So when you're done with that book, it's really meant to change your perspective on the quote conspiracy, okay? And really, for our purposes tonight, you know, I think it's important that we talk once again about the occult conspiracy or the occult nature of what's going on. It's right out of the Garden of Eden. Okay, so people that sit here and they want to pigeonhole the cult conspiracy and want to limit it to the enemies of the nation of physical Israel, which is about the most biblically ridiculous and idiotic interpretation I could think of, but it gets a lot of traction. And look, I get stuff in the mail all the time, and, you know, pray for God's chosen people and, you know, stand with God's chosen people, the Israelites. It's like, you morons. These people never.
Right.
I don't have to deal with the people, with these people, with Neil. I mean, they just don't get it. And let me just speak to that, okay?
Okay, sure.
And let me just emphasize it and be emphatic about it. I'm not one of these anti-Israel types, okay? I'm not one of these, you know, the Jews run the world, and, you know, it's all the Jews' fault. And a lot of these so-called evangelicals and Christians, they'll come out and say, well, the Jews, consider the other Jews as God's chosen people, they'll come out and say the Jews are the devil. And really, really approaches Adolf Hitler kind of language. And there's some kind of nonsense out there about the lost tribe of Dan, and one of the ancient Israeli tribes. And, you know, Dan was part of the Northern Kingdom and kind of migrated through Europe and this sort of thing. And I can't even really follow it that closely, but supposedly the, you know, God's real chosen people are the Caucasians, or the white European Caucasians, and not the Jews, which is, it really approaches the idiocy of the Mormons, or the Jehovah's Witnesses, or these kinds of morons that have no idea what they're talking about. I'm not one of these people. Okay, I actually support and have a tremendous amount of respect for the nation of physical Israel. Okay, they're over there, you know, they're an island of democracy and freedom in the middle of 100 million screaming maniacs who basically want them dead. Okay, I get that. Yeah, I'm not against Israel. I'm just saying here is that they have given up
right. The
title of God's chosen people. I mean, if you just read any book in the Old Testament, really, you read to the book of Isaiah, Jeremiah, Deuteronomy, et cetera, all the so-called minor prophets, okay, Ezekiel, okay, read Ezekiel chapters, I think 16, Ezekiel 23, and it reads like a bad, almost like a bad porno novel, okay, I'm not saying that to be funny, I'm saying if you go read those, talking about, you know, making a parallel between Israel being a harlot or a whore, and having sex with animals. Okay, but this is the figurative language that's there. That's in the book of Ezekiel, for example. So God is quite clear in his condemnation of physical Israel. Okay, and of course, by the time that Jesus was born, okay, they turn on him fully, and they fully reject him. Okay, and you can read about this in full in Matthew chapter 23, especially, okay, where Jesus just goes down line by line, this lambasting the Jewish Pharisees and the leaders of the Jewish people. Okay, when Jews had a choice, they could go with Jesus, or they could stick with their religious establishment and that fake religious leadership, okay, which really symbolizes, you know, all the fake religions of human history. It's not, you know, it's just, again, it's slavic, it's symbolic, but you have to make that extrapolation,
Yeah, definitely, and that's that's definitely the truth. Yeah.
So, but that being said, the reason that's important is because a lot of people listening may have the impression, or they may be asking, "Well, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about." You know, I listen to, you know, such and such biblical expert on this network and this Christian network. You know, Israel, the ones we have to stand with, and you know, Israel's God's chosen people, and God made the promise to Abraham. You know, way back in Genesis 12, you shall be as numerous as the sea. And it's just not true. You know, just read any number of those passages I referenced, and to see where, you know, if Israel breaks the covenant, they're due as much, if not way more, punishment than the average person, because they were given the most to work with. Okay, so in other words, you know, God is going to punish people in proportion to what they knew and how much knowledge they have. And this is the parable that people may remember, the parable of the talents.
Okay? Yeah, definitely.
Back to chapter 26, and that's kind of what it's saying there. You know, the person with the most talents is expected to bring back the most, the biggest harvest. Okay, in other words, you know, the analogy, again, it's kind of symbolic, okay? You know, the harvest being, you know, new believers in the Lord, okay, of all stripes, okay, not just physical Israel, okay, and the people with the talent, you know, the guy with the talent, the one talent that didn't do anything, he gets shut out of the kingdom, and he's in trouble, okay. What that means, if you have the knowledge, or if you're given the advantage of knowing the Bible and knowing what's true, and you don't act on that, you're in a lot of trouble, okay? And this goes and this answers a lot of questions from the people out there. What about, you know, people in India or China have never heard of God? You know, they're going to burn in hell, you know, or, you know, this person going to burn in hell because they never listened to a John Hagee sermon and this kind of thing. The answer is, I don't know. I mean, to be honest, I'm not a judge. I'm not the, it's not but what I do know. Okay, this is all we need to worry about. It's not, God doesn't want us to worry about it. You read passages like Matthew 23 or Romans chapter 2 or Luke chapter 12, is that you are responsible in proportion to the amount of knowledge that you do have. Okay, this is why the Jews of Israel, they really were they just copied what their neighbors were doing. Okay, the ancient Canaanites, the Jebusites, and the Philistines, or whoever, the Egyptians, whoever their neighbors. Okay, the reason Israel was singled out for punishment over and above a lot of these other cultures was that they were the chosen people. They should have known better. Okay, so the new Testament version of Israel is the United States of America. If you go to Romans chapter 9, and it clearly says, you know, they, you know, Israel is not Israel, okay? You know, it's not, and I'm paraphrasing basically what the Apostle Paul was saying. It's just the physical nation of Israel is not the biblical definition of Israel, okay? The biblical definition of Israel is synonymous with the church, which is the body of Christ, which is all believers. Okay, that is really Israel. And if you go back into this nation's history and look at its founding, I mean, agree or disagree with Christianity, there's no doubt. Okay, it's beyond a shadow of a doubt that this nation, the bedrock of what this nation was founded on, were Christian principles. Okay, there's really no argument of that fact. Okay, you know, the communist American Civil Liberties Union, I mean that literally, the communist founded American Civil Liberties Union, notwithstanding, if you go back and you read many of the founding documents of this nation, or even look at the Declaration of Independence, I mean, our rights are inalienable and endowed by our Creator.
Right, exactly.
That's several of the opening lines of the Declaration of Independence. So right there you can see it, that, you know, our rights come from God and not from man or any kind of government. So therefore, they can never be taken away. Of course, you know, now they have been, but the so-called, you know, conservative George Bush, you know, the skull and bone sellout Bush family, you know, with the National Defense Authorization Act, the Patriot Act, and also their nonsense on this mythical and endless war of terror, which sounds a lot like the perpetual, you know, the perpetual war out of Orwell's 1984. You know, you get to, and of course, Obama. There's this multi-named half-white con man, Obama, just taking what the Bushes did and extending it and whatever, and really accentuating a lot of what Bush did and expanding on it and this sort of thing. So, in other words, our rights now come from the government, which in the National Defense Authorization Act and Homeland Security, these kinds of things, which means they're not coming from our creator. They're not coming from our creator, so they can be taken away. So we've had this, and of course, that mindset, again, has been put in place ever so subtly by organizations like the Communist American Civil Liberties Union. Have taken God out of the classroom and you know, reestablished the state as the overall arbiter of what our rights are and which rights we have and which rights we don't have in this scam known as the war on terror. Okay? Well, that aside, let's, you know, how does this all tie into, you know, the opening of the show? Well, here we are. It's April, let's say the 4th, it's April 4th, 2016. And then we find out that the Temple of Baal will be opening up all over the United States and Europe, and places like New York City. And this is just, you know, of course, a lot of the people, a lot of the conspiracy websites are writing about this and how, what a big deal it is, and, you know, how they're surprised by it. But let me just say this, first of all. And Baal, for people that may not know, is the Canaanites. Canaanites were the original occupants of Israel before, you know, Moses came with the, you know, out of Egypt. Okay, you know, the Promised Land was known as Canaan. The people there were known as Canaanites. They worshipped, you know, the male god, the male fertility god, slash nature god, slash weather god, was known as Baal, B-A-A-L. And there are multiple versions of Baal, okay, offshoots. And if you read mythology, I mean, I've read plenty of mythology, you get to a point where none of it makes any sense. It contradicts itself. You don't know what the hell is going on, really, when you start to try to really study mythology and try to make any kind of consistency with it. And I think this is reflected in, I think it's Isaiah chapter 40, and, you know, God says, you know, your idols are wind and confusion, he calls them, you know, all the idols of, you know, all these ancient cultures, which came from ancient Samaria and Egypt, and all these gods are just nonsense. And that's really true when you're trying to read and figure out who the hell is who. But anyway, Baal, let's just, not to get into that right now, let's just say Baal was the name of the male sun god slash fertility god. It might be the equivalent of, say, Zeus. In the Greek culture, for more familiar name, okay, or Apollo, or Jupiter in the Roman culture, or Osiris, okay, in the Egyptian culture, or Ra, okay. So in the very small, there's a relatively small population of the Canaanites, you had Baal, and the reason that's significant is because the cult of Baal, the people that followed Baal, were heavily into sexual immorality, parties, orgies, and things like child sacrifice. Their children were burnt. They were putting inside a huge statue, you know, a huge replica of Baal, you know, which was represented sometimes by a bull. Okay, and were put in there and literally burned to death. Okay, this is what was going on with the ancient Canaanites. Okay, and Baal had a female consort or female half, okay, and people may know the Old Testament, one of the more popular Old Testament names is someone called Asherah, okay, the Asherah poles, which, you know, which equates to, you know, the Roman like Diana, the Greek Artemis, the Egyptian Isis or Ishtar, or the Babylonians was Ishtar, I believe, and Egypt was with Isis. But anyway, and this is reflected in Freemasonry. Okay, Freemasonry, which says, oh, you know, it's just conspiracy theory. No, no, Freemasonry, you know, the symbolism of Freemasonry is right out of the ancient Egyptian and all these other occult societies that we're talking about. Okay, this is reflected in the black and white, you know, checkerboards and this sort of thing. The two columns of Freemasonry, if people are familiar with those, Jacob and Boaz. Okay, if you ever see this, if you look at, you know, Freemason symbols, okay, see the two columns, and you'll see like an all-seeing eye in between of them, or a G in there for the, you know, the great geometer of the universe. Okay, what they call God of the universe, the Freemasons. But anyway, this is all the symbolism, you know, that illuminated all-seeing eye is symbolic of this male god, okay? And in the particular case that we're talking about, this relatively small population called the Canaanites, you know, that male god was called Baal, okay? And what I'm getting at in this case is that people may be familiar with a term known as archetypes, okay? And Carl Jung, who was, you know, supposedly a psychologist, I mean, I think the guy, you know, had more than a few screws loose, okay, but he came up with a concept called archetypes, and basically what he said was that all these, quote, ancient cultures, you know, they had different names, but they were really talking about the same entities, all right, you know, going back to, you know, supposedly mythical Atlantis, okay, and things like Genesis 6 with the Nephilim and all this sort of thing. You know, these gods, you know, these half gods, half men of Greek mythology and all these other gods. He said, people say, oh, that's all legend and mythology, and these ancient cultures didn't know what they're talking about. And people like Jung, I have to, you know, to agree with them, because it does comport with Genesis 6 quite nicely. That all these ancient cultures, what they really done is taking history and rolled up into what we now call mythologies. In other words, these beings, these things were real. These so-called gods were real, right? And I don't want to go off on that tangent right now. I mean, there's other websites that do a lot better job of developing this sort of thing better than me. I'm not going to repeat a lot of their work. You know, Tom Horn and Raiders News Network and these kinds of people. You know, people are interested in, you know, really going down that road and really getting a technical analysis of what I'm talking about. You know, go ahead and Google and Tom Horn, those kinds of people, and L.A. Marzulli. And I know a lot of those guys, and I've spoken to them, and they're nice people and sort of thing. And I don't have any issues with them. It's just I'm not going to sit here and go into great detail repeating their work. I mean, I personally believe, you know, my feeling is, you know, don't get too deeply into it. You spend too much time, you know, focusing on this stuff, and you really do start to get confused, and it really does get depressing, and you start reading about the evil and all these cultures and this sort of thing. I personally choose not to go down that route. Not to mention, like I said, it's really, those guys have really developed it quite extensively, so I'm not going to sit there and be redundant. But the point is, you know, the takeoff from all this is that in the ancient world, the quote ancient world, no matter what culture you go to, from the Far East to the Near East to even to the Americas, the Mayans and these kinds of people, you have the equivalent. Exactly. This theme repeats itself of the male and the female. Okay, this combination of male and female, the sun god. Okay, you know, usually the male is represented by the sun, or heat, or energy, okay, and the female is usually represented as passive energy, as symbolized by the moon. You know, the male is gold, the female is silver, and this sort of thing. So they complement each other, okay? So this is the backdrop of what's coming to New York City, okay? Now, of course, if you go to the Old Testament, what is the most famous case of this, you know, where this is really illustrated, is really with Moses' encounter or confrontation with Pharaoh. Okay, because if you go back and you read you know, took an exodus, you know, and really every one of those plagues, every one of the biblical plagues, and I cover this on the site, and I go into this in quite a lot of detail, actually. If you go again, boxofsunglasses.com, you go to the table of contents, and you can read about it. I think it's page 7. It's called Ancient Egypt Still Lives. Actually, my mistake. That's just an overview.
Okay.
Of the, but anyway, the information, okay, is there. It's all, and you can really, actually, the good focal point of everything we're talking about would be the occult conspiracy link, okay, on the website, boxofsunglasses.com. If you read that, page 9, it'll talk about other stuff, but that's kind of like ground zero for a lot of the stuff we're talking about, and there's literally, I don't want to say hundreds, but dozens of pages and links that send you out to other links. A lot of the stuff is covered in quite a lot of detail. But I go into a lot of this stuff about ancient Egypt and the conflict, which really symbolizes this conflict that we're seeing happening right before our eyes, right here in the United States in the 21st century in April 2016. That's really being symbolized by the construction of the Temple of Baal right here in New York City. Okay. So with that general background, what this really means is that what our leaders are telling us is that people are being sacrificed to, just like in the Old Testament now, you know, in different modes, people are being sacrificed to Baal and his wife, his female consort, okay, which is a lot of the New Age people, which we know as Gaia or Mother Earth. Okay, so nature is the female. And this is what's really going on. Okay, you know, just take a deep breath, think
right,
about what
exactly.
I'm saying. Our cult overlords, our leaders. Yeah, the people really running the show, you know, again, not these bozos you see on Fox News and these morons who pass themselves off as experts. I'm talking about the real, the skull and bones, our Illuminati, global elite that own the media, that own the universities, that own the banks, that own the world, that work for Satan, just like it's described in Matthew 4, where Satan tells Jesus himself that he owns the kingdoms of the world. This is what is behind this effort, okay? This is really what's going on here. And I would say, well, it's human sacrifice, and that's just all. That's funny. Well, I got news for you. I mean, remember before we said, you know, babies and children were sacrificed,
right.
You know, this worship of Baal, okay? Well, in this nation, do we not have something called Planned Parenthood?
Yeah.
Okay? We're live babies, first of all, we have the abortion issue and live babies, and we talked about this, I think it was last week or the week before, where a live baby was born. It survived the abortion attempt, and it was born, but it was literally starved to death. It was left to die, okay? And if you make this connection now, over to the environmental movement, the modern-day environmental movement, which really does worship Gaia, okay, and worships things like Beltane, which is May 1st, okay, and the Asherah poles, okay, which we know today as May poles. Okay, a lot of the stuff is right out of the Old Testament, and what they're really saying is, you know, abortion and things like abortion are okay, and things like Adolf Hitler are okay because they control
the
world's population. By controlling the human population, they are protecting the Earth Mother, or Mother Earth, her Gaia. Okay, so this concept of sacrifice, of human sacrifice, you know, to help satisfy the bloodlust of Baal and his wife Gaia, okay, is still very much with us. Okay, and again, you know, these so-called these mythical gods of the Old Testament. You know, the dad, you can read about the Deuteronomy 18. Okay, these are biblical demons, okay, or fallen angels. That's what's really behind all these ancient movements, which are manifesting themselves, which are here, but now they're just manifesting themselves more and more in the open, and our cult overlords aren't even trying to hide this stuff anymore. Now, I want to read, okay, the overview of the back cover. Now, I wrote this in 2010. The back cover of the Un-American Genocidal Complex, okay, I'm just going to read this, okay. In the book of Ecclesiastes, God, the real one, emphatically states there is no new thing under the sun. Now, of course, this is exactly what I'm talking about, okay. There's no new thing under the sun. It's a child sacrifice in the 21st century, be it Planned Parenthood or child sacrifice going back, the ancient, the Canaanites, and, 1500 B.C. or whatever the exact date is, and that, that Israel entered the promised land, it's going back almost 4,000 years. It's really no different. Human history is rife with man and humanity to man, and the 20th century is no different. The 21st may be the worst yet. One of the most egregious examples of this humanity has been human sacrifices to Mother Earth, i.e. the Greek Gaia and her husband, Baal. Okay, the ubiquitous sun god of history known as Lucifer and later Satan, or Jupiter or Zeus or Apollo or whoever we mentioned before. The Canaanites, the Druids, the Mayans, ancient cultures, it's somehow serving as the foundation of the so-called New Age. In parentheses, the New Age movement again, all these nature freaks that are going to come out on May 1st, with their maypoles and celebrate Beltane and the celebration. Of the Earth Mother, and all these freaks, a lot of these same freaks behind the climate change scam, by the way, because that's their camouflage to start sacrificing people wholesale. People have to die to save the Earth. That's really the mantra of the environmental movement. Things like climate change are its camouflage to put that into effect. But anyway. Serving as the foundation of the New Age are examples of those that practice human sacrifice, including their own children to Baal and his wife Gaia. Today, this human sacrifice is hidden beneath a thin veneer of science known as global warming, the population problem, and the complete life system.
Right.
And it's all controlled by they. Everyone wants to refer to it some kind of blind faith that they would never do that. People say, well, they would never do that, or they. Like, who is they? Okay, it's part of the reason that, they live. It's just ubiquitous they, whoever that is. But anyway, today they are known as the Un-American Genocidal Complex, and I conclude there really isn't anything new under the sun. Okay, now I wrote this 5 years ago, okay, not anticipating that the actual Temple of Baal would be constructed right here in New York City. And of course, back in December, and again on my website, I have to go line by line to Revelation 17 and 18 and then talk about the United States and where it's going. So when I see things like that, which is really sticking the thumb into the eye of God, here we are, a nation founded on Christian principles, and rights endowed by our Creator. Or if you look at the rallying cry, the Committees of Correspondence, it was, we recognize no sovereign but God and no king but Jesus, okay, Samuel Adams and those kinds of people, okay, Patrick Henry, John Hancock, okay, these guys were devout Christians, right, the revolutionaries. And if you read a lot of what these guys wrote in the Committees of Correspondence, that was their rallying cry, that was the engine behind the American Revolution. So we've gone from recognize no sovereign but God and no king but Jesus to this smart-ass, smarmy Ivy League con man known as Barack Obama, who literally came out and said, God bless Planned Parenthood. Okay, now again, I'll say it again, Planned Parenthood started out as something called the American Birth Control League. It was started by a woman named Margaret Sanger. Okay, a degenerate, a female degenerate, and a real racist, okay, a KKK, fan, Margaret Sanger. So when Hillary Clinton wins the Margaret Sanger Award, which is really what she's celebrating, who came out and said, well, I don't really believe in eugenics, which is the control of what she called undesirable people, i.e. Negroes, i.e. in America, black people, and then poor white people. Okay. She didn't believe in eugenics, not because she was sympathetic to people being sent to mental hospitals for the rest of their lives for no good reason other than who they were. She wanted to kill these people outright before they were even born. And
hence, yes, definitely.
Born the concept of abortion. And this is, Hitler loved this woman. Okay, Hitler absolutely adored Margaret Sanger and vice versa. And when this became known, during World War II and after, these evil bastards in the United States, the Anglo-American, just Darwinist, okay, the most evil bastards in the history of the world, the most duplicitous, low-life scum in the history of the world, okay, they changed the name. They gave it a subtle name change from the American Birth Control League to Planned Parenthood, because it sounds nice.
Yes. I think it definitely sounds nice. Rob, when was this, the American Birth Control League? What year?
What year was it founded?
No, when they were doing that is the name of it, that of the organization.
Oh, I don't know the exact year, but it was around, I think around during World War II or soon thereafter when it came out that it wasn't really cool, it wasn't really popular to be hitched on to Adolf Hitler's wagon, hitched on to his star, so to speak. And people kind of figured out, well, hey, we better cool it, with our love fest with this guy, because these concentration camps with the ovens and the millions of dead people isn't going to go over too well with the people back home, and especially when we just sacrificed, almost a million of our best and brightest in the war fighting these people. Not going to look too good, so that's why they changed it. And not that they didn't believe in what he was doing or what he did do, it's just they didn't want to be caught. Okay, so hopefully that the picture's starting to develop here, so we see why God hates things. It's, well, how could God, God of the Old Testament, he's mean and cruel, how does he hate people, and how does he tell, Israel, march into Jericho and just, knock the wall down and then kill everybody in sight, he tells Jehu, Ahab and Jezebel, okay, which were symbolic of the aforementioned male and female, God as the concept, they were the evil king and queen of Israel, after Israel wanted a king. But anyway, why does he tell Jehu to go in there and tell Jezebel, throw her out the window and let the dog eat her alive? And this sort of thing. So why is all that nasty language in the Old Testament or Pharaoh? Why is he killing, the firstborn and killing all the animals in Egypt and this sort of thing?
Exactly.
Hopefully people are starting to get the picture of what's going on here, what's been going on in human history, and then what's still going on. It continues to go on. Okay, just because we put a 20th/21st century camouflage or veneer of science on top of the thing, instead of burning babies in the belly of a bull god called Baal, now we just rip them out of the womb with forceps. We lace vaccines with the AIDS virus and kill hundreds of millions of Africans and this sort of thing. It's just because we put a facade of technology on it. Again, the book of Ecclesiastes, there is nothing new under the sun. Okay. So here we are, April 2016, the Temple of Baal is coming to New York City. Okay, just in time for Beltane, which is May 1st. And remember, the month of May is named after the goddess Maya. Now, the goddess Maya, again, is representative of this female nature goddess. Okay, that's the month of May. So May 1st is a very popular month amongst the New Age, these these wackos, these weirdos, okay, they go out in the middle of the desert and, you know, they dance around their maypole and all this other nonsense over there, or the Old Testament, the Asherah pole. They dance around trees and their nature spirits and all this other garbage, these freaks, all right? So that's the biblical, that's really what these people are doing. They're no different than the ancient Canaanites, okay, except what happens in New York City, and it's done by our so-called leaders. Okay, they do some much into the occult as Pharaoh of ancient Egypt. Okay, it's the same exact thing. It's just got a 21st century overlay. This is what's going on now. I remember May 1st, we talked about this, and I'll say it again. Okay, not only is it huge with these New Age nature freaks, it's huge in human history. Now, I remember May 1st, 1776.
Right, exactly.
The foundation of the Bavarian Illuminati. Okay, the Illuminati were nothing. They were very much into Greek mythology, okay, and all this kind of thing, and worshiping these ancient gods of mythology and the sun god and this sort of thing, and they were nothing but a bunch of devil-worshipping freaks themselves. Okay, but what did they... They're the devil's spawn. Okay, and what came out of the Illuminati? Remember, the tenets of the Illuminati was basically... This is where we get communism from. Okay, you know, communism borrowed from the Illuminati. Okay, you know, I think there's five or six planks. You know, abolition of borders, national borders, the abolition of the family, abolition of religion, and there's a few other things. But from that springboard came Karl Marx and communism. Well, before that was the French Revolution, of course, which you talked about. And the French Revolution was nothing but a pointless bloodbath, which is an orgy of violence. Okay, but it set the precedent for the communist revolutions of the 1900s, and of course, the most famous of all, the Russian Revolution and the Chinese Revolution of Mao. Okay, and so they had Karl Marx, who borrowed from the Illuminati. Okay, now if you look at May 1st, you got the foundation. So let's see here. We got the nature weirdos, okay, the Beltane, Asherah pole freaks. We got the Illuminati. Now, May 1st is also known as the World Workers' Day. It's a huge communist holiday, okay? The foundation of Socialist International, okay, another communist group, okay, Socialist International, okay, its founding was on May 1st. I don't remember the year. Okay, so let's keep a little score.
Okay, yes, definitely,
here. Yeah. So, you know, we've got the Illuminati, you got the New Age freaks, you got the foundation of communism. It's called May Day. Okay, May 1st is known as May Day in many communist countries. Okay, and here in the United States, okay, our illustrious president, this
90-second
walking, talking con man freak show known as Obama, okay, he's taken it upon himself to call May 1st something called Loyalty Day. Okay, now this didn't get, you know, of course, everything with Obama, it doesn't get a lot of press. Okay, this stuff just kind of floats away. Nothing ever sticks with this guy. Okay, people are worried about the size of Trump's hands or, you know, how big a bruise his, you know, one of his aides gave some big mouth reporter.
60 seconds.
That's national news.
Right.
But Obama gets right away while, you know, during terrorist attacks or doing away with the communist thug like Raul Castro and, you know, that all kind of gets swept under the rug. Well, another thing that got swept under the rug with this guy was calling May 1st Loyalty Day. So in other words, I'm not exactly sure what that means. Okay, but just think about it. Okay, this Ivy League scumbag, Obama, it just sounds very communistic to me. It's just, you know, Loyalty Day is May 1st. It's no coincidence that he made it that. And I think he did this back in 2010. But again, you're hearing it here. If you're listening to this show, you're not hearing it on Fox News. But you need to connect these dots. Of course, you know what it says.
10 seconds.
Of this guy. And of course, now with a guy like Obama, you know, we don't know anything about this guy's background. Or I happen to think, me personally, I'll just come out right out and say it. I don't really care what people think. I mean, I happen to think that this guy is the image of the beast. Okay, I'm not looking for some biblical antichrist, a comic book antichrist that, you know, jump out and, you know, start zapping people with, you know, with lightning bolts and, you know, and pitchforks and this sort of thing. It's a little more mature than that. It's a little more developed, a little more subtle than that, and a lot more evil. But anyway, I think the image of the beast is personified by this mystery man known as Obama. Okay, but speaking of child sacrifice and Baal that we've been talking about, okay, this guy, we don't know anything about this guy except he voted against something called the Born Alive Infant Abortion Protection Act. Because I remember before, you know, we talked about this case over in Poland, I think it was like 2 weeks ago, where a live baby, he's supposed to be aborted, but he was born alive, and they let this poor baby die anyway. And Obama voted against the piece of legislation while he was a senator in Illinois, voted against a piece of legislation that would have made that, I don't even know if you can call it a medical procedure, but made that act of allowing a live human being to literally wither and die. He made the attempt to ban that practice. He made it illegal. So think about that. Okay.
Yeah.
And I don't have any women. I don't know if anybody's listening. I'm, you know, whatever. But to think about that, all these women, it's our woman. It's a woman's right to choose, and men have no right. But, you know, then you see, every time there's a little, you know, a kid gets left in a car on Fox News, and all the mimbos and the bimbos, how can somebody do that? How could a parent leave their kid in a car? Are you kidding me? Okay, are these people serious? Okay, you're going to have sympathy for some poor kid that was left in a car, in a hot car for 2 hours, had to be rescued by the police or some passerby. I mean, now you're going to have sympathy for it, but you're not going to, you don't have a word. You don't have a word to say about
exactly.
A live baby being allowed to starve to death. Okay, and really, what was a post-birth abortion, which is a fancy way of saying is outright murder. Okay, so this is the again, this is hopefully I'm painting the picture here, and it's coming into focus. I know it's a people listening and maybe getting lost. I'm doing the best I can to tie all the stuff together, and hopefully the picture is coming into focus of what I'm getting at here.
Yes.
Okay. So in the backdrop of this nation, and the wars, the endless wars, the warmongers. Okay. This Hillary Clinton, these other psychopaths, even Bernie Sanders. Okay, he's another military-industrial complex hack. Okay, maybe he voted against the Iraq war, but he voted to fund all these wars. And anyway. And of course, you got all the Bush neocon maniacs. You know, all these so-called experts that they get on Fox News with their nose in the air, the George Wills and the John Boltons and these other neocon psychopaths that just want to carpet bomb and make the rest of the world glass because I guess they can because we're America and we do those sorts of things. But the violence that we are fomenting and, this takedown of Libya and takedown of Iraq, attempt to take down of Syria, these power vacuums that we're creating throughout the world and then our never-ending quest for warfare, okay, coupled with our bloodlust in the abortion movement, okay, it's symbolized now just out in the open with Temple of Baal, just out in the open. It's too much for God to stomach. Okay, I guess that's what I'm getting at. So, unfortunately, it looks like my interpretations are the correct ones. And I'm just going to say, nobody else is saying it. I got to take it or leave it. Maybe I'm conceited or whatever, or complimenting myself. I don't care. Okay? I'm just stating facts. I've been saying this stuff for years, and it's coming to pass. Okay, this is where we are, America. Okay, we are the ancient Canaanites. Just with a 21st century facade, okay, with a Madison Avenue commercialized facade, a political establishment a Rachel Maddow, radical feminist, Fox News expert, disguised facade. I mean, you call it crap. I mean, you call it nonsense. We are as decadent and as depraved and as decayed as, you know, the Roman Empire was there at the end. Okay, the Romans, remember, bred in circuses. Okay, they were feeding, you know, Christians to lions and burning them at night, you know, burning them for light. It got dark. They didn't have electricity in ancient Rome, so they used to burn Christians. And, you know, those were your lampposts and then this sort of thing. You know, of course, you know, while, you know, and debasing their currency and these endless wars and all that. But the parallel between Rome and the United States is another thing we can talk about at some point. But the decadence, the moral and spiritual decadence and depravity of all these so-called ancient cultures that God absolutely hated, okay, is, in fact, the very United States. So I guess what I'm saying is forget any kind of national salvation. Forget Donald Trump, okay? You know, when people protest Donald Trump and, you know, they say they want to kill Donald Trump. And I'm not for or against Donald Trump, but the guy says he's a Christian, and I hope he's right. I hope he's serious that he's just saying that. But the people that oppose Donald Trump are so stupid, okay? What they're really, they don't really oppose Trump per se. What they oppose is what Trump represents, which is a return of America to its basic biblical roots, or at least an attempt to get back to those days, okay, when America was a more morally upstanding nation before the Federal Reserve bankers took it over and, you know, and funded all these movements like Planned Parenthood and all these, and the radical feminists and all these other things, and the American Civil Liberties Union just decayed our society from within, you know, carried out the tenets of the Illuminati / communism, you know, through the education system rather than through outright revolution. But anyway, Trump, what I believe, what people are attacking, is not Trump per se, but it's the America, it's traditional America, which is really, and again, traditional America is a nation founded on laws and the Bible and God, and this is really what people are opposing. And if now, what did Trump say about abortion? I mean, like, people just flipped out.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to punish you. They're going to punish you. Yeah. And they had to flip-flop. That's the biggest thing that's happened. And as you said, you believe that Trump will not get the nomination because somehow everyone's going to try to screw him over. Because then he's speaking the truth, but you're not. You don't know if you want him or not want him, but yet you believe he's more truthful than a lot of these other politicians. Gotcha. Rob, best place we could purchase your book, learn more about you, is boxsunglasses.com. At Rob Roselli, you're getting some Twitter battles, sometimes agreeing with some of these people and sometimes not, right?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, most of the people right now agree, but, you know, I get some disagreeers, and that's fine. I'm not going to sit there and argue with everybody. I'll try to educate people, but nobody, nothing elicits the vitriol of so-called liberals than a good old debate on evolution, as you know. And that's really where I seem to attract the most is hatred. I mean, the Twitter's there, the boxofsunglasses.com, you know, and then really, I guess the takeoff from all this, you know, the link on my site called God's Simple Salvation Plan, I would say it's up to the people to get individually saved and their individual salvation, because it's sure ain't going to happen nationally. You know, if a pseudo-Christian, if a kind of Christian, if somebody just a little bit different than the normal losers that run for president, like Trump, can elicit the hatred and vitriol that he's doing, that just means this nation's just shot. It's gone. There's going to be no national revival, but there still is time for individual revival. That's probably the most important thing to take from all this. God's Simple Salvation Plan, and it is simple. And I would highly suggest that people take God up on that offer.
All right, well, Rob, good talking to you. We'll talk next week. And everyone got to go to boxsunglasses.com at Rob Roselli. Take care, Rob.
You too. Thanks,
all right, take care. Bye. Goodbye. Stay.
Geico presents sharing versus oversharing. Earlier this week, Claire Tippins shared a princess nickname generator, 3 pictures of her dog wearing a tutu, and 2 online quizzes, including, what candy is your dream castle made of? Claire, your sharing has tipped the sugar scale and turned into oversharing. But have no fear, princess. Geico has something worth sharing with your internet kingdom, like how you could save hundreds on your car insurance just by visiting geico.com. No magic wand required. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.